So I think I've shared before that I have a certain reluctance in using the song Amazing Grace, for example, or some contemporary Christian music that uses the language of brokenness a lot. And it's because it flows out of a non-Catholic tradition of understanding the effects of the fall on us as human beings as breaking us. Oftentimes in the Reformers' theology in a way that can't be healed. But the understanding, in fact, from the time of Scripture is that, no, God in fact can make us whole, that he can recast, so to speak, what we were in his own image and likeness. And this is important very practically because it shapes the way that we think about ourselves and think about God. So we need to be careful what we're bringing to this particular gospel passage. It's always interesting to ask ourselves, how am I hearing Jesus say this in my head? What does Jesus' face look like? What's his expression? What does his voice sound like? What's his tone as he's saying this to the apostles in your imagination? If you're like me, there's a temptation to hear it sort of scornfully. This is how it should be with you. When you've done all you've been commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants and we have done what we were obliged to do. Like with this idea of don't ask for more. You've done exactly what was commanded of you, and even there you are unprofitable. But this is not consistent with the whole of the Gospels. I want to begin actually with this idea of what does it mean to be unprofitable servants? And so to just take those words for what they mean. Not someone who's making profit, not someone who's storing something up. Sometimes we approach God with the idea of, I deserve something. I can make demands on you, God, because I'm a good person, because I've given X, Y, or Z up, because of whatever. This is simply not true to who or what we are as creatures. So to bring in just a little bit of philosophy, everything that is created, human beings included, we are contingent. So if something is contingent, it is not sufficient within itself for its own existence. It depends on something else to be made or to be sustained in its existence. The only non-contingent reality is God himself. So even if we had never fallen, humility would be the right response to God. Humility is not because we have sinned, though that adds to it. Humility is because we are creatures before our Creator. The contingent before the non-contingent. Then we go from there to ask, what does that say about God? Right, so if God is not contingent, he doesn't need anything. He doesn't need our worship, our praise. He doesn't need us or the universe to exist. He is utterly sufficient within himself. So that means that creation is a sheer act of love. It is a sheer act of generosity, unmerited, unwarranted, and ultimately given unconditionally. We make no profit, ever. We are always unprofitable because we are contingent. We are dependent upon the generosity of God. And over and over and over, what we see is that he delights in being generous. So Pope Benedict very wisely picks up on what other scripture commentators do and pairs this particular gospel with another one that Jesus, another parable that he tells in Luke's gospel, of the surprising way that a master would act, that for those servants who are attentive, who are ready for him to return and ready to do their duty when he returns, he turns the tables on them, quite literally. And he does have them sit down at table, and he waits on them. It's the completeness of this picture that we can never go to God and demand something from him. I've done all of this for you. I'm basically a good person, whatever we might think we have over God. But we don't need to, because he's generous, because he loves us. And so that then is what gives us this kind of holy confidence that we hear in the voice of Habakkuk, to be able to go to God and say from a place of honesty in the heart, how long, O Lord? I'm crying out to you that there's violence happening and you're not intervening. And the Lord does answer. That the vision still has its time. God's promises still move towards fulfillment. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. Right? Meaning that the only one experiencing delay is us. Us in our limitedness, in our contingency. But as we orient ourselves back to God, in his completeness, in his generosity in sharing that completeness, we realize that nothing is late, that all is within his sovereignty. The rash one has no integrity, the Lord says to Habakkuk. Because in our rashness, so often we step away from the only one who can hold us together, who can make us integral. And so we scatter interiorly into our sinfulness, into our emotions, into further violence within ourselves, with others. But the just one, because of his faith, because of his orientation towards the good God, shall live. And this is exactly what St. Paul is saying to Timothy. But the gift is even more apparent, as it is for us, because we live in the era of the fulfillment of the Lord's promises in the new covenant. So we have received the Holy Spirit through baptism. Those of us who have been confirmed and have had hands imposed on us. And so Paul is very concretely saying, be just, turn your focus to the Lord, not in some abstract way, but in the gifts that you have been given. And gifts indeed they are from the heart of a generous God who is giving us what we need, that we may be brave, that we may have self-control, that we may be able to love him and to love others. So indeed, may we recognize that we are unprofitable servants. But in recognizing that, may it lead us not to shame, but to freedom. I don't have to get anything over on God. I don't have to leverage myself against Him. He is already disposed to love me, to be generous to me. I need only keep my attention fixed on Him, and I'll be able to receive, not on my terms, but on His. So as a way of beginning that understanding of the freedom of not needing to be profitable, may we approach the Eucharist today without that list of, well, here are the things I've done for you, God, or here are all the ways that I don't think that I deserve you, but instead, I just come to you knowing that I need you and that you want to give to me. And in that, may we find the answer to the Apostles' Prayer. Our faith increased, our attention fixed on Him.